With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In 2014, a failed stand-up comic entered a contest called The Hunt for the Host. He did not win. Later, he was joined by an underperforming Oregon State fullback with a community college degree. These men, neither having earned the position and possessing no real skills, continue on as radio personalities. If you have nothing better to do on a Saturday morning, and if you can find them, maybe you can hear The Sinner and the Saint. Starring Luke Anderson.
We got a lot of gentlemen's clubs. Oh. You know you like those. Oh, hey, everybody.
Mickey Mouse now.
It is now. Devolved into that.
And Will Darkins.
Ear or eye?
Where do you want it?
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah. All right, the kitten sounds means that it's hour two of The Sinner and the Saint. If you missed hour one, how dare you? How dare you? But we understand. Sometimes you get busy and there's things you got to do. So we've created a podcast and it will be available after this hour of radio broadcast. You can go back, listen to hour one twice, then re-listen to this. So then you've done your, you know, civic duty and listened to the entire show twice. It's brought to you by Les Schwab on 1080thefan.com. Do people know that?
Well, you just said it. So
okay. I don't know. I'm just making sure that people know it.
It's funny because usually when you say stuff on the radio, there is a percentage of people that listen and then will act if they find it to be beneficial to them.
Yeah. So I think everybody will probably then take the actions that I suggested.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. we do need to talk Bill Walton audio, and then I need to shame Jen Ellis live on the air, and we'll do that in, I don't know, 7 minutes-ish.
I did want to have a quick note here. Now, the Little League World Series is going on.
It is. Did Sprague win yesterday?
I don't know.
They were down 6-2 in the sixth, but I didn't catch the end of it.
Japan just beat the crap out of Australia.
Yeah,
like, I'm talking like this was like a clinic. Japan just kicked ass.
Yeah,
they're
good.
They were showing highlights of it, and I was like, whoa.
Let's see. It's like Sprague Little League leads early but loses first game at Little League World Series. Statesman Journal.
Yeah.
6-2. Elmora beat him. Also, did you see the guy was in trouble for stealing signs? One dad coach yelled at another dad coach out of Rhode Island for stealing signs.
Yeah, that sounds about right, Rhode Island.
Yeah, they lost too. So
yeah.
The Rhode Island cheater pants is stealing signs.
I would like to think that you have a awesome collection of dads that have drank too much before noon that are just hyper-competitive.
Yeah, but I think that you also get the guys that are too focused. Well, I stopped drinking during Little League season, and I drink coffee. You know what I mean? Like, because here's the thing is they're trying to make their sons reconcile all the failures that they had in their own lives. And, you know, it's like if I won the Little League World Series, then I wouldn't have taken that stupid job with my father-in-law, and I'd have a better life right now, and I'd have a better house, and I'd have better kids, and if I'd have just won, I need my son to win. It's a lot more of that.
I quit drinking because my wife said she'd leave me.
Yeah. If his kid wins, he's going to save his own marriage.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That's a hell of a marriage.
My wife hates me, but if Johnny can win this baseball game, everything's on the right path. That's what I think is going on.
And then you just got these, you just got the Japanese team just coming in like, yeah, kick the crap out of all you.
The Japanese team is like, oh, we just play a lot of baseball.
Yeah, we're just going to come
we're
in.
We're tacticians.
Our parents will not get drunk. We will just kick your ass and then go to the next one.
I don't even think the kids on the Japanese team have parents. They send them right off to a baseball farm, and they just learn how to play baseball.
You know, that is a real thing in China, though.
I did
That in China,
not baseball. They haven't embraced baseball yet.
No. China with gymnastics, yep. They will send kids that are like 4 years old and like take them away from their families for 3 months at a time to train and then be like, all right, you go back home and then come back.
Our gymnastics team doesn't have a really great reputation. So
maybe
we don't go down that rabbit hole there.
Well, I was talking about China's.
I know you were. Just saying, but if we're going to go apples to apples on it, it's not a...
Well, no one's comparing.
Okay, let's not do that then.
Look, all I'm trying to talk about is Japan kicking the crap out of all these other kids.
Yeah, but they beat Australia. You know who's drinking before Little League baseball games?
Australians.
All the Australian kids.
That's true.
Not just the parents.
The kids.
The kids. And Jen is in early. She can't stay out of it. We're talking Little League baseball, so she's diving in. We had one of the traveling... Australian basketball teams play us when I was in high school. And what they do is they'll go and they'll play your high school team. And then you're invited to like host an Australian kid. And I ended up hosting two Australian kids.
So they give you a kid?
Yeah, you get a kid for like a day. So they don't have to do room and board. They just stay with the team that they play against. And there was this kid, I can't remember his name, but he's like, just because I like to drink beer doesn't mean I'm not an athlete. Just because I like to drink a bourbon now and then doesn't mean I'm not an athlete. The kid's 16. Just because I like to do a little cocaine doesn't mean I'm not an athlete. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, these guys are awesome. And then every girl in the entire high school think,
oh, my God, I like that accent.
Oh, my God. It's so amazing. He's the cutest boy ever. He's like, I'll stab people. And it's just, yeah. Australians, they got up too early, started drinking before the game against Japan. So don't use that as your barometer for how much better Japan is than everybody else.
Is Australia good at anything?
Well, but...
Yeah, surfing.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Get
in a drinking contest with an Australian.
Okay, but anything productive?
No. Oh, God, no.
I've never known swimming.
They have a decent swimming team.
I've never known an Australian to just be like, you know, excel at something.
I once watched a chugging contest with beers, bottled beers, between an Australian and a guy from Montana. And that was something to see. Did you know, this is where I learned this little trick. If you're ever in a beer chugging contest, if you're drinking out of a bottle, you actually swirl the bottle so it will create a downward spiral of a little, you know.
Cyclone
in the bottle so the beer will flow out faster. The funny thing, though, the guy from Montana did it. The guy from Australia did it the opposite way.
Like the toilets flush the opposite way.
It's the only good thing they do.
Yeah. So Jen came in at the end of the first hour and came in here, and her and I usually do a little chit-chat before we go on to the baseball segment.
What are we going to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
No, that's not what happened. No. What happened is she walks in and goes, who's Bill Walton?
Wait, are you serious?
Well, yeah. No, what I said was... I prefaced the question with, this is how much I don't know about any other sport but baseball.
And then what
who
did you say?
Who is Bill Walton?
But the important part of that phrase is not that you prefaced it, because you still said, so who don't backtrack.
Bill Walton?
So.
The name sounded familiar to me, but I said, you know,
I have since caught you up on who he is historically.
Yes.
But you've never heard him broadcast.
No.
We will introduce Jen Ellis to Bill Walton next, right here on The Sinner and the Saint. All right, welcome to our award-winning baseball segment. As always, we are joined by the ballpark MC of your Hillsboro Haunts. It's Jess!
Yay, it's me!
So if you're just joining the program, Jen Ellis does not know anything about Bill Walton until today.
I don't really know much about basketball at all.
But
I kind of figured he was in basketball. Like, I knew that much.
Yeah. So Bill Walton.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're okay. we bring you on to be our baseball expert. You don't have to apologize. All you've done is reiterated how much you love baseball. That
exactly.
You completely shut out the rest of popular culture in the world just to focus on baseball. We're okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. We don't need you to be nimble, and we don't need you to dive in for a cricket or a NFL segment next. We'll do this. Okay. We'll do it really well.
Okay. Yeah.
But
that's what I do good.
Here's
and talk good.
That's what I do good. I do good things. But Bill Walton, not only was he a great basketball player,
right,
led the Blazers to the 1977 championship. He played for John Wooden. He has an illustrious career. Bill Walton is also very famous for being a Deadhead and seeing the Grateful Dead, 200,000 times.
Right.
But as a broadcaster, Bill Walton was very unique.
Okay.
And if you don't watch college basketball, you probably would have no way of knowing that.
Right.
But Bill Walton helped broadcast an Angels-White Sox games. And so we are going to play for you. And this will be the first time Jen is hearing it, so I cannot wait for your reaction. This is Bill Walton helping call a Major League Baseball game.
Although I'm not going to say that he knows me. But oh, yes, go! Over the fence, come on! Please!
Oh, it makes the catch.
So close.
It is a
what
national roller coaster.
Now?
Is he trying to talk past his big teeth?
Yes, he has very big teeth.
He was. I think I looked up a picture of it. There, I think they were. Was this the game that they were wearing the tie-dye shirts?
What you need to know about that routine fly ball is it was nowhere near going over the fence too. So
it
you hear him go,
like,
"Oh, he almost got it!"
Infield.
It was to the left fielder, but the left fielder moved in from where he was standing, not back. This was not a warning track shot. He's just screaming for it to go out. Yeah. It gets better. Let's do him calling a Mike Trout home run.
How would you feel about that if your teammates?
We hope our audience
together
has not got to that point.
No,
look at this defense
field from Trout. Garcia's not going to have a play, and
oh
Mike
my
Trout
gosh.
Goes deep.
That's Trout.
It is
swimming upstream, avoiding all the flies, and sending one ricocheting through the universe. And look at this crowd. Raucous as can be, one of the most successful franchises, just packing them in here at the Big A.
So it starts it off with nice defense.
Yeah.
So ball is smacked over all of the defense. And I'm sorry, are the Angels a fantastic franchise?
Okay. Yeah. Well, and Okay. That's funny.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
In the pregame, he was explaining his approach to hitting.
Oh, okay.
And this is my favorite.
Okay.
When they bring that high, hard one in, I stand in and lean back and then just bam. And it sails away out through the universe like a radio wave that goes past Saturn and Jupiter, Pluto, through the black hole, and into many other galaxies yet named.
Bam.
Bam. Yeah.
Yeah, he lives perpetually at a dead show.
Yeah, he, it sounds like it. I love it. That's awesome.
This is how he broadcasts college basketball. So imagine a game that has a much quicker pace than baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, he will just go on tangents. And God bless his partner, Dave Pash, who just goes, all right, I'm going to try to broadcast a game, and always seems just perturbed by what Bill is doing. So anyways.
That's awesome. I love it. That's funny.
I wanted to bring you that for our baseball segment. What were your favorite baseball stories this week?
Oh, my gosh. I know. We always talk about home runs. It's just like getting old.
Yeah.
But, you know, more records are set every week, it seems like, about, you know, the Dodgers hit 22 home runs in 5 games. And on Thursday night, my brother texted me a picture from the A's game. And he said, it's warm out. It's like freaking home run derby here tonight. 5 home runs by each team in Oakland the other night. You know, for 10 home runs combined in a game for the first time ever at Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the Indians put up, 7 home runs in a 19-run game against the Yankees
something crazy
this week.
Like that. Yeah, that was fun to watch, too.
Yeah, so.
And the Giants are even, you know, clobbering out home runs. Carl Yastrzemski's grandson hit 3 home runs the other night with the Giants. But, yeah, it's just, you know. Home run, home run, home run, home run, everywhere. But you know what I thought was funny, too? I was watching an A's game that was interleague play, and I like watching pitchers hit.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of keeping the DH in the American League because the novelty of watching your American League pitcher hit is fun. You don't always get to see it. So it's like, oh, my God, let's see. And the A's this season have 6 hits, which is 6 more hits than Dallas Braden, who threw a perfect game for the A's ever hit in
his entire career.
So it's fun to watch the American League pitchers hit, I think. I really like that. And the A's were in San Francisco, and of course Mad Bum was pitching that night, and he can clobber home runs, you know. I mean, he's dangerous. He's a dangerous hitter, so it's kind of fun to watch him get struck out.
Well, there were two things brought up this week. One, Aaron Boone, who is the Yankees manager.
Yep.
This is kind of goes along with the World Series. And like I said, the Indians scored 19 runs against them. He said Major League Baseball should have the mercy rule where if you finish an inning down by 10 runs, just call the game.
Twist my arm.
Which I thought was funny, and obviously that would never be something they have. But the way they hit home runs in baseball, we talk about speeding up the game. Is it that unrealistic?
Just be like, I know.
All right, let's just call it. We played five innings.
Yeah.
We're down by 25. Let's go. But it seems like there's so much scoring because we don't have a home run race like we had at the end of, you know, the 90s with Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire, and Barry Bonds jumped in later to it. But it's not like there's a home run race out there. Right now, Cody Bellinger is 41, but he's not going to go anywhere near 70 home runs.
No.
But everybody is hitting more home runs.
Yeah,
and players have adjusted their swings and pitchers throw harder than ever. And we've talked about the ball being juiced. But it's just I wonder if there's going to be any correction after this season. Because like you said, every week it seems like
there's more and more. But and it's funny too, because it's like if both pitchers are pitching well and they give up a couple of home runs, you know, the game still goes by pretty fast. I mean, that 10 home run game in Oakland was 2 hours and 22 minutes, you know, I mean, because both starting pitchers went pretty far into the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's still exciting to see, you know, back and forth home runs. You know, it's like, oh, man, our guys are down. But then they, you know, answer right back with two more home runs, you know, and it's just it's those games are super fun to watch. But, yeah, when your team is getting clobbered and you know, you're just going through pitcher after pitcher after pitcher trying to, please God, stop the bleeding, you know.
Yeah. And then yesterday I saw one other thing, and this is the first – good argument that I've heard against the robot umpires. I don't know that you and I have talked about it, but the Atlantic League is testing out the idea of using a computer connected to the iPhone of the actual umpire. It's not a robot that goes out and umpires it, but they will call the balls and strikes, and then they patch it through to an earbud in his ear, and then he calls the strikes that way. So that's how the Atlantic League is testing this out. And nobody's given me a compelling reason to think why that wouldn't improve baseball.
Yeah.
You want balls and strikes to be correct.
Sure. Yes, of course.
But this was,
because that's not something that you can, you know, call a replay review on. Mm-hmm. If, you know, if it's way down low and the guy calls it a strike, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, you can't replay that and challenge it in any way.
So here's the first argument that I've heard for keeping the umpires, keeping the robot umpires away from baseball.
Because I
think, like most people, we want to get the calls right.
Of course.
I present to you Jeff Mathis.
Okay.
Do you know who Jeff Mathis is? Mm-mm. Jeff Mathis just signed a 2-year deal worth $6.25 million to play for the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
He's 36 years old. He hits 200.
Yes.
Right at the Mendoza line.
Right.
In 69 games with the Diamondbacks in 2018. So he's a 200 hitter. He was an underperforming teammate of Zach Greinke. But he has a 55% strike call on borderline pitches. So pitches that sit around the strike zone because of the way that he frames the ball gets his guys an advantage 5 times over the halfway mark, or 5% over the halfway mark for borderline pitches. There is gamesmanship to the way that the catchers behind the plate can go and frame their pitches and pick a ball and move it. Because sometimes you'll see the umpires, well, they'll glance down at the glove.
Yeah.
Because they're following the ball all the way in to see
that
where it actually ends up. So I was thinking, and you hear the argument goes like, well, that's the way I like it. Mike Lynch is famous for his argument. Because that's the way it's always been. I like it.
Yeah.
And but nobody's ever given me the really compelling one. Here's a guy who's made his entire major league career on being a great backstop. He's behind the plate and he's figured out the gamesmanship of borderline pitches.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And to me that means something. So,
yeah, it does. Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, anytime you're watching a game, obviously there's always someone that used to play that is talking about how things are being done.
Yep.
And I know I always use the A's, blah, 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 blah. But Ray Fosse, you know, I mean, he was a great catcher, you know, for the A's World Series teams in the 70s and all that. But he always talks about how the catchers on both sides, on both teams, are framing the pitch
yep.
to try to get the call that they need.
Exactly.
And when you see that done right, because the way he describes it, it makes you pay more attention to it, you know, when he's not talking about it. So you're like, oh, yes, I see what he means, you know, and so you can kind of pick up that. But yeah, that is interesting. I've never heard that. I mean, that's a good take on that.
Well, I was a part-time catcher in high school. I caught maybe two or three games a year. I was, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I was one of the greatest junior varsity athletes.
Oh,
so
yes,
I was
course.
A second or third best catcher on the team that I played for. But I would go and I'd catch a few games. And yeah. I remember that was one of the pointers that we talked about yeah. is you frame the pitch. And if you don't do it, you know, imagine for anybody that's not a big baseball fan out there, but imagine a ball goes across the strike though, and the catcher just catches it and lets his glove drift away.
Sure.
Well, if the umpire is kind of unsure of which direction they're going, a catcher that snags the ball outside of the zone and then holds it at the player's knee,
yep.
it gives them another reference point.
Yep.
And here's a guy that, you know, has made a career out of it. And, you know, he's not a superstar by any means, and it's not a name that you recognize off the bat. But there are guys that are better at it, and it makes a big difference to your team when you're talking about, you know, 162-game season, where oftentimes it comes down to one or two games, which you can equate to one or two at-bats. Striking a guy out can save you an inning.
Yeah, exactly.
And it happens all the time. And I know that 5% isn't a huge margin, but that's why they play so many games. Is baseball is, you know, just it's a matter of you know, moments. And that makes a big difference to me. So now, I don't know that I'm fully on it, but I can see the argument for both sides of it now.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
it sounds cool. Yeah, cool. I never thought of it that way.
All right.
Interesting point. Thank you for enlightening me.
You are
this
welcome.
Morning.
We will thank the writer, Johan Bierenbaum.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
I'm sorry. His name is Johan
Bong?
Beer and Bong.
That beer and bong. Oh.
Beer and bong would be fantastic.
Sounds like somebody's hanging out with those roaches or vultures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, that sounds like the name of one of those vultures in that Florida home.
I mean, Johan Beer and Bong. Hey guys, come over to my vulture party. It's gonna be awesome. Johan's gonna be there. Johan who? Johan
Beer and Bong.
Gonna be sweet. All the ladies are gonna be in the pool. Chicken match. We're gonna do some cornhole. Then we're gonna go puke in the house. Who's up for it?
But seriously, don't talk to Chad's girlfriend.
She's the worst.
He gets pissed. He gets super pissed.
Jen Ellis, thank you for joining us to talk baseball. Always a pleasure. What are the Hawks got going on this week?
Tomorrow we've got Soñadores night, where the Hops take the field as Los Soñadores for the last time this season.
How many home games left?
We only have five. One, two, three, four. Yeah, five left. So, Monday night is the last Mavericks Monday. Come out and see them dressed up in the really cool throwback Mavericks uniforms. They're so awesome.
If you've never watched
a two-game winning streak?
Pardon?
Two-game winning streak, right?
Two-game winning streak. Well, to open the second half of the season, we had a seven-game winning streak, and then we went on the road and lost a bunch. So then now we're back home, and we have won two in a row.
We need to get you wearing more Hops apparel in here and less A's apparel.
Okay.
That's just your note for next
week.
All
right. I'll wear my Hops shirt tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. Duh, because I'll be there.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Fantastic. Thank you,
Thank
Jen.
You.
Now we throw it to Will with your news update. All right, welcome back to final radio program. Luke Anderson, Will Darkins with you. We are currently 14 days, 5 hours, 51 minutes, and 42 seconds away from the kickoff of the Oregon Ducks versus the Auburn Tigers at Jerry World. How pumped are you for football?
Oh, man. I'm so excited.
Are you actually? Because you
yes.
don't seem it.
I am incredibly excited for football.
Nah, still not buying it.
I am just really, really pumped up.
Can you do it with a little feeling?
For football.
Man, this isn't the Will Darkins I know. Everything okay over there, bud?
I'm big time pumped for the football. Especially for the Ducks and the Auburn Tigers. Big time.
It's a big game.
Sure. Whatever. You know, both fan bases think it's a huge game, but, I mean, in retrospect, just I don't know. Both of these teams, they're not going to beat. They're not going to beat their way into a playoff situation.
What is the Pac-12's biggest non-conference game? I mean, this is it.
Oklahoma State, Oregon State.
You couldn't even finish that.
It's big time. That's big time.
Big time. This is a big game. This is College Game Day, week one. Not week zero. Week one. The prime, the meat of the opening weekend of college football.
Now, nationally, I think this is a bigger deal in the Justin Herbert narrative. I think nationally, outside of Oregon and outside of the state of Alabama, it's more about who's this guy that the Giants were praying would come out, and then they took Daniel Jones instead.
Well, wouldn't the Cardinals have taken Herbert if he came out?
No, because I think they were sold on Kyler Murray.
Fair enough.
And I think that, you know, Herbert is the guy that everybody is looking at in terms of a Heisman front runner, and then also just the perspective first pick at the draft this next season. So I think that everybody around the country is really going to be looking at Justin Herbert and saying, all right, who's this guy all about? You know, it was a similar thing about when Josh Allen, former quarterback of Wyoming, when he played against Oregon,
yeah.
Everybody said, okay, now he's playing against a Pac-12 team, a legitimate Pac-12 team. Let's see what this guy's about, because he's getting highly touted as well.
Yeah.
And so Herbert, I think, in the national perspective, that's what more people around the country are going to be looking at. Who's this dude? Can he play against the SEC? And if he does end up just having a massive game, then it's going to be the Justin Herbert hype train all season. For everybody in here, for all insular purposes, this is about we have to win this game if we want to be considered for the playoff.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to. You can't lose this game as a Pac-12 team and still be considered for the playoff. If the Ducks lose, the best you could do at that point is win the Pac-12 and get to a Rose Bowl.
Well, yeah, well, but I also think it means a lot for the Pac-12 if there's a one or two loss champion in the Pac-12. If Auburn has a good season but loses to the Mighty Ducks, not the Mighty Ducks, the Mighty Ducks, then you have at least an argument going, hey, we went head-to-head with the SEC, and we won that game. Now, UCLA has Oklahoma on their schedule, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in Chip Kelly in year two from what we've seen in year one, so maybe that ends up being something. But outside of that, I mean, it's the Notre Dame games that every year you get Stanford and USC that plays. So I don't really see an opportunity for the Pac-12 to go out and just kind of establish themselves, you know, as a conference that belongs there. I mean, it's 2 years in a row where they haven't been there.
Well, because they don't, and they're not. I mean, honestly, this conference is just not that good right now.
Yeah.
It's just not that high quality, and we don't know who the Ducks are yet. We don't. Yeah. They've gotten all of these great blue-chip recruits that are going to come in. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be a force to be reckoned with if you watched him in the spring game, and if you've heard any reports from fall camp. People say this guy is a freak athlete.
And all the things that people said when he was recruited.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's what's going to be the most interesting dynamic with this Ducks team is that you have a bunch of dudes that are seniors that are NFL bound, like Herbert and Breland and
Jake Hansen.
Yeah, Jake Hansen. We had both of them in the studio. I think Breland's NFL bound.
Yeah, I think so.
And then to mix with that, you have these blue chip dudes that are just out of high school that are just raw talent. Yep. So you got to see how Mario Cristobal, and this is going to be a huge test of his coaching, right? You got to see how he's going to be able to mix the structure of having seniors and the unpredictability of having a dude who's never played a college football game in his life and having his first college football game be a nationally televised in an NFL stadium game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big opportunity, though, for Mario Cristobal to establish himself as a head coach. I mean, he's been a head coach. Where was he? Florida International before he went to Alabama. But, you know, 1 year he came in and took over as interim coach for the Alamo Bowl. Does that sound right? Whatever. For a bowl game. Lost to Boise State, I believe. And then he got his first year, but this is him to go, hey, I'm a guy to be reckoned with. I'm not just a recruiter. To your point, I am a coach. I can in-game coach, get my team prepared for the big stage. You've had the entire offseason to get ready for this game. So there's no excuses. Health shouldn't be a concern. You're going in as fresh as you will be all year, because after this game, it's about maintaining. And, you know, luckily the schedule doesn't get a whole lot tougher after this for a little while. So anyways, it should be a good one. I'm pumped about it, because I think it's nice to jump into the deep end, especially since Oregon had a much weaker non-conference schedule. Much weaker non-conference schedule last year.
And the other national topic that will probably start to percolate is Aaron Feld. The mustache.
Isn't that already percolated?
Well, I think this will more do it. And what I hope really does is that people notice what a massive man chest Mario Cristobal has.
Is it that massive?
Yes, it is huge. It is huge. It is daunting.
A daunting man chest.
Yes. And I would like to see him with his shirt off to see if there's hair. Because I would guess he is clean under there, that it is very, it is not hairy at all.
Trying to think of my reference point. He's Cuban, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's there. That's a fairly hairless people.
Well, I'm fairly hairless and I'm white.
I'm just trying to find a reference point for the Cuban hair population.
Look, I'm trying to talk about Mario Cristobal's chest, and you're trying to start a race war.
Oh, that I'm not trying to do. I'm just saying, do you think, Cubans are not a hairy people, is all I'm saying. I think that's a fair statement. Race war.
What am I on trial here?
Yeah. I don't know. They can grow beards. We know that.
Who would win in a fight, Mario Cristobal or Gus Malzahn and their punter?
I'm taking Cristobal.
Oh, really?
You throw in their long snapper, and I'm giving it to the Auburn team. But yeah.
Okay. No, how about
punter? He picks up the punter and swings him around and hits Gus Malzahn with the punter.
Okay. What about
he turns the punter into a weapon? You know, it's like you have the karate chop. On like a action figure. He punches a guy so that his leg kicks, and then he kicks Malzahn with that.
Okay. Let me up the ante. It's Malzahn and the punter and the long snapper, but Mario Cristobal has a backup offensive tackle.
No, that's not fair. That's not a fair fight at all. That's 4-3. Cristobal is at least two men. And then you have a backup offensive lineman on one of the best offensive lines in the country. Get out of here. Mario Cristobal with a bow staff, but he's blindfolded against the punter, the long snapper, and Gus Malzahn.
And it turns into that scene in Kill Bill where he's just like feeling the room out.
Yep, exactly. He's got a bow staff.
Yeah.
It's a blunt weapon. It's not, no blade.
Yeah.
He's got the bow staff. He's blindfolded, taking on Gus Malzahn, the punter, and the long snapper. Who wins?
I'm going to take Cristobal with the bow staff.
Okay. You don't think they can get close enough to him, do you?
No. And I think he's probably had some training with weapons before.
I think the punter goes low, but the spidey sense tingles in the back of his neck and he takes him out.
Yeah.
I think you're right. All right. Let's get to what to watch. A huge sports weekend will eventually be here. This is not it. We will tell you what to watch next. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Which is the most exciting matchup in the field of competition? Which game will leave you kicking yourself if you miss it? Which channel should you switch to when the sporting day is gone? Welcome to America's most exciting sports talk radio show segment. It's time for What to Watch. Presented by Encore Audio Video. Now hear this. Whether you're looking for a new TV or a custom home theater, start at Encore's showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Now our expert panel, avid television viewer Will Darkins. And increasingly out-of-touch father of twin girls, Luke Anderson. And are here to tell you what to watch. Literally, it's What to Watch on The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
All right, big sports weekend.
Next
weekend college football starts.
I was interested to see how you were going to roll into that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So this is a segment where we tell you what to watch. We try to find something in sports that you can look for, you can keep an eye out for. But there, for me, there's not a lot going on. I will bury the lead, and I will tell you right now I'm going to watch. I'm going to catch up on Hard Knocks. I've never watched Hard Knocks. It's never been something that has caught my attention, but the Raiders will either be the most improved team in the NFL or they'll be an absolute train wreck. I don't think that they'll be uninteresting. They'll be either the bottom of the barrel and Gruden will be losing his mind and Antonio Brown will be skipping out on games, or they'll be the comeback team of the year. So I kind of want to get in. The Antonio Brown stuff hasn't really captured me, but I was looking at some statistics and realizing that he's the only wide receiver ever to have 100 straight catches for 6 consecutive years. The next closest is only 4 consecutive seasons. So he's done it 6 times in a row. So I'm curious what will happen with him with a new quarterback. But yeah, I'm going to watch Hard Knocks. What are you watching this weekend?
I'll have a short aside to the statement you just said, which is I was having a conversation with the producer for Dusty and Cam, Mr. Buck.
Ryan Buckley is insufferable, isn't he?
I love Ryan Buckley.
Really? Have you ever talked to him?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that guy.
Well, I have talked to him, and this is what I'm about to say.
By the way, he and I will be doing high school football coverage for Clark County together, and it'll be great. But yeah, he's insufferable.
Well, I was talking to him, and we were talking about Antonio Brown, and I said, you know something? It kind of feels like Antonio Brown's going to go the way of Randy Moss in that he had a really good situation on one team, went to the Raiders, might have a terrible season, and then get himself traded out of it and work with a really good quarterback, say someone like
Tommy,
or I could even see a Saints situation where they've put so much money into Michael Thomas that they like unload a bunch of crap, then go, yeah, we'll do a year rental or whatever.
No. Where you want to see him? Green Bay.
Ooh.
Green Bay.
Dude, Rodgers couldn't handle that.
Again, you said he gets a dose of humble pie for a season, wants to put his name back on the map. You're talking about Randy Moss' situation. He's a model citizen in New England.
It's true.
Yeah. So what are you watching?
People don't appreciate my play here. Dude, that was my favorite last press conference of any player on a team. Just like, yeah, it looks like people don't appreciate my play here, so I'm leaving.
Peace.
All right, man. Well, I'll see you later. Sports-wise, not a thing, because there's nothing. But I will tell you what I'm watching outside of sports.
Before you do, let me remind people that if you need to upgrade your home theater, your television, you're looking for home automation, the best place to do all of those things is the Encore Audio Video Showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Talk to their experts. Get the info you needed. What are you watching outside of sports?
Outside of sports, I'm going to sit myself down and watch on the free channel. The Goonies.
Goonies.
The free channel, Freeform. Sorry,
Freeform. That makes more sense.
Is having themselves a hell of a movie marathon day. Got a lot going on here. You got Zootopia. You got the Goonies. You got the Incredibles. It's gonna be a Disney day for me.
Wait, Goonies isn't Disney. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah. So you're just gonna put it in Freeform. Leave it there.
Better you today, text sign, UFC tonight.
Ooh, are you going to watch some UFC?
No.
Okay. What would it take to get you to watch UFC?
It had to be really a lot. You know, a lot of people would say, well, I'll only watch it if I put money on it. It's like, well, I don't gamble, so. It's like, I don't know, man. It would have to be a lot. You'd have to put, like, an incredible dinner in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
And then the TV in front of me and, like, you know, I can't find the remote. I'd probably be like, all right, fine.
Tilapia with a nice beet salad. Yeah. And you're like, I'm in.
A really nice cut of fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a blackened catfish.
Yes.
Yeah. With a nice polenta. Is that vegan or approved in your diet?
Let me tell you something. Polenta is incredible. And actually,
I have a hard time figuring out what you eat, but polenta.
Well, I had myself some incredible gnocchi last night.
Oh, yeah. I do like a gnocchi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some pretty good stuff.
It's like a potato or something?
It feels like a glob of pasta. But yeah, it's like a potato-based pasta, I think.
And then somebody does make a good point. Goonies is George Lucas, right? That's
no,
Disney now.
Spielberg.
I think it's George Lucas.
It's Spielberg.
I think I saw a lightsaber in there.
No lightsabers in Das Goonies.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe an Ewok?
Now we have to check on Goonies before we leave the broadcast. Should we be playing the music?
No, not yet.
Goonies.
Okay, now I'm playing the music.
Director Richard Donner.
Who's that?
Screenplay Christopher Columbus.
Is he related to the other Columbus?
Yeah. Chris Columbus. Where's my... It's a great way to end things.
Well, it's important.
Obviously.
It's one of those follow-up things.
Where's Steven Spielberg and Chris Columbus wrote it. No, George
Spielberg wrote that?
Yep, story by. I don't know why they're not on the executive producer list. I assume that's Spielberg.
All right, we got to go.
All right. Hey, keep it right here on the fan for more sports throughout the day and throughout the week. We're all done. Bye-bye. And death's the final word. You must
always face the curtain. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.